Join the Toronto Holocaust Museum and its partners for a community-wide Yom HaShoah commemoration on Sunday, May 5th. A moving evening of film, candlelighting, music, and a tribute to survivors we've recently lost. Keynote speaker Yoni Berus from Yad Vashem will reflect on Holocaust remembrance post-October 7th. The program is at Beth Emeth Synagogue at 7 p.m. Register at torontoholocaustmuseum.org.
We must destroy Hamas. We must return the hostages. And we know that the Jewish people, the Aboriginal people of Israel, who have been on the land for thousands of years, will be there thousands of years from now, celebrating Purim, celebrating Shabbat, celebrating Passover, and the voice and the echo will always go out, Am Israel Chai. Thank you very much.
That's the voice of opposition leader Pierre Poilievre booming out over the PA system at Nathan Phillips Square in Toronto on Sunday at a large rally marking 6 months since October 7th. That rally was just one of Poilievre's stops during a whirlwind weekend canvass in the Greater Toronto area, where he focused heavily on the Jewish community. On Sunday, he took the stage at three major Jewish events. The day kicked off with a standing ovation from 600 people at Beth Tikva Synagogue. And he was scheduled to be guest of honor at a private fundraiser Sunday night for an Orthodox youth group, NCSY. The day before, on Saturday, he dropped in at the United Bakers restaurant. And it all comes on the heels of an impassioned speech he gave less than 2 weeks ago in Montreal at Beth Israel Beth Aaron Synagogue. Now, he did change the jokes and the bits of Yiddish a little bit that he sprinkled throughout his Toronto speech. In Montreal, he called himself a simple goy from Saskatchewan. In Toronto, he referred to himself as a poor schmuck. And no, I'm not making that up. He actually said it. But other than that, his message is consistent. Standing on the bima with the Bring Them Home silver dog tags hanging around his neck, he tells his audience Israel has a right to defend itself. Iran is to blame for what Hamas did to Israel on October 7th, and Iran's agents are behind the increasingly aggressive street protests intimidating Jews in Canada. He also called the March 18th vote in the House of Commons shameful when Canadian lawmakers agreed to stop selling arms to Israel, and Poilievre recounted his personal experiences that have shaped his support for Israel and the Jewish people. His visit to Auschwitz on the March of the Living, his three trips to Israel, and a Shabbat dinner hosted by a Canadian rabbi living in the Jewish settlement of Beitar in what Poilievre calls the Judean Hills when he was in his 20s.
I sat down with my Muslim friends in mosques. I sat down and discussed the common ground we share on many different things, on the need to axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, stop the crime, defend family values, all of those things on which we agree. But I also say that I'm a friend of Israel. And I say that in the mosque just as I say it in the synagogue. That might not be necessarily the best way to win votes in certain audiences. But I think that people on all sides of this debate respect a leader who doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Monday, April the 8th, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily. It's a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News and sponsored by Metropia. Though former Prime Minister Stephen Harper cemented the Conservative Party's policy of full-throated support for Israel, that didn't translate into unanimous Jewish seats for the party. Far from it. Of the 14 federal ridings with the largest percentages of Jewish voters, in the last election, only two Conservatives were sent to Ottawa. Gaps remain between the Jewish community and Poilievre on a range of issues, such as his support for the truckers, his past voting against universal daycare and against same-sex marriage. And there's a perception he could be more vocal against Quebec's use of the notwithstanding clause to pass Bill 21 and 96, which curb the rights of Anglo-Quebecers and the right to wear kippahs and hijabs in government offices. He also opposes the new online hate bill, which is supposed to help curb hate speech, including anti-Semitism against Jews. On today's episode, I want to bring you a few of the highlights of Poilievre's time in Toronto this weekend, plus my conversations with several Jewish community leaders who met him about why it seems they're now embracing Poilievre after October 7th.
When Prime Minister Trudeau said from this very pulpit that he'll always have Israel's back. Where was Canada? And we're going to have to answer that in March 2024, while Israel was in the midst of fighting against sheer evil, Canada voted to deny Israel weapons.
That was Rabbi Jared Grover, the senior rabbi at Beth Tikva. I asked him how the invitation to Poilievre came about.
We've been following Pierre and his public statements and very impressed with the positions that he's taken on issues that are of concern to our community. So we reached out to him. And I know the people from the Harper days. I've been here a while, so I know the people from the Harper days who are in the Conservative Party in Willowdale, which is this riding. And they also want to bring him here. You know, this is a riding that tends to flip between Liberal and Conservative, so it's in their interest also to maximize the amount of enthusiasm for the Conservative Party right now, or probably a year before an election. So
how much are you hearing from your community that they're done with the Liberals? Because you haven't invited Trudeau here, right?
No, not only have we not invited Trudeau, but our local MP asked me for a meeting a few weeks ago. And I said, hold off, I want to see what happens. We knew about the vote before the House.
The March 18th vote, just for our listeners.
The vote, I said, hold on, I'll let you know. Anyway, our MP was one of the Liberal MPs, well, almost all of the Liberal MPs who voted in favor. And I said, I'm really not interested in a meeting right now. I don't have anything to say to you. So Prime Minister Trudeau did speak here before he got elected. You know, the biggest, it's maybe one of the most common things I'm hearing in the community is how absolutely disappointed they are, not just by what he says, but how he says it. The way he'll go into one audience and say one thing and then go into another audience and say something totally the opposite. And I really feel that the vote to deny weapons to Israel or the decision to deny weapons to Israel may have been just the final blow. I'm not saying that on domestic issues, people may be totally in line with where the Liberals stand. But I don't have to tell you, this is a community that cares very much about Israel. And it's hard to stomach leadership that doesn't see the difference between fighting a just war and just genocide, which is the accusation that Israel faces. So we want leaders that can see the difference and that can speak up powerfully for Israel's right to self-defense without equivocation.
We plead before you, Father of Mercy, be a support for them, protect them and return them speedily to the embrace of their families and their loved ones.
Rabbi Adam Cutler of Adath Israel was at the event to bless the soldiers of Canada and of the IDF and the hostages. His congregation is located in York Centre. It's a riding with a large Jewish population, now represented by Cabinet Minister Liberal MP Yara Sachs, the Israeli-Canadian politician whose progressive views on Israel and Palestine have angered many in the community after she was photographed shaking hands in March in Ramallah with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas.
I'm hearing that there's a lot of frustration with the current Liberal government, and people are open to hearing other perspectives. Without speaking before the event, I know a lot of congregants of mine immediately reach out to me after Mr. Poilievre spoke in Montreal and were energized by his words. And they're very much looking forward to hearing what he has to say this morning.
Well, you say that your riding is in play now. What are you hearing about the Liberals now after, first of all, October 7th and then also March 18th?
I grew up in York Centre, still live in York Centre. It is a last few decades, a traditionally strong Liberal riding. However, under the Harper government, it did swing Conservative. And I think it's reasonable to assume that this will be a contestable election in New York Centre.
Is that because of the position that Yara Sachs took by shaking hands with Abbas?
I wouldn't say that has to do with one particular thing. First of all, I think Canada-wide, the Liberals are not polling well. But certainly York Centre has a large Jewish community. many of whom are not thrilled with the Liberal government.
That's a very polite way of putting it.
I try to be polite whenever possible.
Claire Horowitz is a volunteer at Beit Raim Synagogue in Vaughan, Ontario, and had her problems with Poilievre's stance in the past. But now, she says, she's willing to overlook it all because after October 7th, there is only one issue: support for Israel.
I'm only recently learned how he's joined and how supportive he's become of our community. And I feel at this time, because we're getting so much hatred and opposition worldwide, that we have to stand up with those who are our friends. And we have to be with them, we have to support them, and they're supporting us. And that's our response. We have to fight back in some way.
This sounds like it's a one-issue election for you. Are there other issues that are important to you, like the economy, housing, jobs,
right?
Or is this it, Israel, Jewishness?
This is it right now, really. It's primary. And bring them home now.
What about the fact that he sided with the truckers, all those other things? That doesn't matter to you?
You know what? I was not a fan because of all those other issues until now.
How do you explain your change?
I have to stand up for our Israel, for our Jewish communities, for who we are, and that's what it is.
So you can hold your nose a little bit and vote or not?
I will have to let it go.
Stan Karolnik and his wife Karen Kissel went to hear Anthony Housefather, the Liberal MP for Mount Royal, speak in Florida this winter. They're now leaning heavily towards voting for the Conservatives.
In light of what the Prime Minister is like, I have to know that I'm going to be voting for this guy rather than the other butts.
Have you been a Conservative voter before?
I've been all over. I used to be an NDPer and Conservative more or less. Except during the Harris years, I actually voted Liberal.
So are you guys like a one-issue voter now because of October 7th?
I never thought, but that's right. Am I a one-issue person? I could be. I could be.
Or was it the March 18th motion in Parliament that made you think maybe this is who you'll be voting for? Or was this coming before, since October 7th? Like, how have you, your journey?
I've always claimed that the Liberals are anti-Semitic, so nothing's changed. And we've heard Housefather speak a number of times. So down in Florida, he's been down in Florida. So I don't need to hear anymore, really.
My greatest memories, before I was even elected, I visited Israel, I backpacked around, I even hitchhiked. It was actually very popular. You could put your thumb up on the side of the road and people would take you as long as it was on the way. And I've been to many places that goys never go.
Poilievre likes to tell his Jewish audiences about his deep ties to Israel and the Jewish people, dating back in part about 20 years ago when he spent a memorable Shabbat at the West Bank home of Rabbi Ephraim Shor. Shor is a Canadian, originally from London, Ontario. He made Aliyah, became a rabbi with the Aish Orthodox movement, and went on to found Honest Reporting and Hasbara Fellowships. At the time, he and his family lived in Beitar, a settlement in what Poilievre refers to as the Hills of Judea. And although the two hadn't been in touch for years since they met, they are once again, and we track down this rabbi, who is now a tour guide in Jerusalem, to see what sparked their unlikely friendship between the rabbi and the young non-Jewish politician.
Rabbi Shor, how did you first get in touch with Pierre Poilievre, if you can remember?
So I don't remember the facts exactly. However, it was something to the nature of it was that someone I knew, which could have been my mother, was contacted me and said, there's this rising star in the Conservative Party and he's a great guy and he's looking for somewhere to spend a Shabbat, a traditional Shabbat in Israel. So they put me in touch. So we invited him.
Do you remember when it was?
It was around 20 years ago, but it was when we were living in Beitar and we've been out of Beitar for at least 12 years. So somewhere earlier than that. Beitar, by the way, I don't think he mentioned this, but Beitar is, depending on how you look at it, a like, small town in Judea and Samaria, or some people refer to it, a West Bank settlement. So it was pretty interesting that he was, you know, willing to come out there and spend a traditional Shabbat with an Orthodox Jewish family. In the 12 years that I spent in Beitar, I think he was probably the only non-Jewish guest that we had spend Shabbat with us. So that was pretty interesting.
So he spoke about that trip to, I don't know if you're aware, with the Montreal Jewish community last week and mentioned you a couple of times by name in his...
Yeah.
You're still in touch with him all these years later?
We weren't in touch for a long time, and then he made a speech a number of months ago somewhere else, and I heard that he mentioned it, and so a friend of mine who knows him well gave me his number, and I WhatsApped him, so then we've been in touch ever since, chatting here and there.
Really? What do you talk about?
Mostly just me encouraging him to come visit Israel again, and him talking about how much he loved Israel. And but I told him he has to come to us next time he comes first and come to Israel for Shabbat again. We have 9 kids now. We only had 5 or 6 then.
And what did you do then? Do you remember how the weekend went? Because from what he tells it, he had a hard time even getting there. The bus driver didn't even want to let him off the bus.
Right, which is very true. Like he has a good memory. Because Beitar, being that it is it's an all-Orthodox village in Judea and Samaria. And so the only people who go out there are people who look like very Orthodox Jews. In fact, most of them wear, you know, black and white suits. So when somebody who's even a secular Israeli gets on the bus, they wonder what's going on. Like, why are you going to Beitar? And someone who, you know, comes on without a kippah and looks mildly non-Jewish, then the eyebrows go up and people have to be concerned for security reasons also. That's why they gave him a hard time.
And did he stay for the whole Shabbat till Saturday night or Sunday longer? What do you remember?
So the truth is, I don't remember 100%, but I think he did for the simple reason that there's no way out. the whole city closes up for Shabbat, the gates, there's no taxis or buses. And, you know, we're really in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it's about 30 kilometers to Jerusalem with Arab villages in between. So people don't just hike it or something like that. So I think he stayed till the end.
Was he by himself?
Yeah, he came by himself. And he was, you know, I don't remember too much about it. The truth is just that he was very pleasant and it was interesting.
What do you make of the fact that this incident basically made such a big impression on him that it maybe had something to do with how he sees Israel and the Jewish people now?
I know, isn't that super cool? Being in the right place at the right time with the right person. Yeah, I think it's just like super cool that maybe we had a small influence, and God knows Canada desperately needs some pro-Israel influence over there, you know, like this political leadership. So I would love to think that we were a small part of that. And I really respect him for his, you know, his speech and how he, you know, he gets it, you know. I don't understand how so many world leaders who obviously are supposed to know about politics and history, how they can't understand what he understands, you know, the fact that we are the indigenous population and that we are, you know, a democratic, liberal, open society fighting against, a terrorist monster regime. It's nice when there are leaders that understand the picture from our perspective.
You said earlier you reconnected with him. I don't know if you're allowed to say, but what do you talk about?
So we have WhatsApped each other a few times. It hasn't been like in depth, but I gave him an update on my family and wished him, you know, success in his upcoming political competition. And he just inquired about the general situation over here these days, you know, and it was very nice. It was very sympathetic with the difficulties that all of us in Israel are going through. And he said he'll definitely be coming to visit one of these days, not too long.
When Pierre Poilievre was backpacking through what he calls the Holy Land, it made me think that this is a religious reason that he's supporting Israel more so than, you know, that had something to do with why it calls him, it speaks to him. Does that make sense to you when you met him?
That probably having that religious spiritual connection to Judaism probably comes somewhere with Christianity as well. And I think that's fine. You know, wherever he wants to support Israel from is great. And if you are a believing Christian, they should be supporting us. It makes a lot of sense for them to support us. But it makes a lot of sense to support Israel even if you don't have a Christian background. It's rare that a political leader has had such depth of commitment to Israel and understanding of our situation. And I think the fact that he spent so much time here and really got to know Israel before he was, you know, famous, he wasn't AIPAC bringing a senator over for like a week-long indoctrination trip. He really came out of his own desire to understand Israel. And so I think his commitment is coming from a very deep, sincere, real place. And just to have someone like that in a position of power, probably, you never know with Israel, but will probably bode well for what Israel's needs are in connecting with Canada.
But he calls you...
Ephraim Shor.
He can't say your name properly in Hebrew, so...
That's the only problem.
Everything.
So I heard a few people joking about that, but everything else he got was accurate except for my first name.
And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Integrity, community, quality, and customer care. Now, I did try to interview Poliev on Sunday, but his people were not allowing it. However, you should know that during his speech at Beth Tikva, the conservative leader took a swipe at Liberal MP Anthony Housefather and the three Liberals who voted against the NDP's sponsored anti-Israel motion on March 18th, when the rest of the Liberal caucus voted for it. After telling reporters that he was reflecting on whether he had a future with the Liberal Party anymore because of its stance on Israel, Housefather announced late Friday he was staying in the Liberal Party after all. He said the Prime Minister had promised him a new role to help fight anti-Semitism. Now here's what Poliev said about that choice, although he didn't mention the Montreal Liberal MP by name.
So for a local MP to say, well, I'm different than my Prime Minister, I might be in his party, is nothing more than hypocrisy. Because at the end of the day, that MP is keeping that Prime Minister and those policies in place. And so we need to be clear. My policies might not always be popular, but I promise you one thing, I'll say them everywhere.
So what do you think about Housefather's decision? And what questions would you have for Pierre Poliev if we get an interview? Send them to me at ebesner@thecjn.ca. Thanks for listening.